At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help. So you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this ninth day of January, boy, 2024. Time is really moving quick. And tonight, we have as our producer that young, confident fella, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
Hey, Style, feel free if you want to see. Joe don't know a lot about what young people think, and he's not hip like I am. And so if you feel like jumping in with commentary, feel free to do that, because we want to know what's traveling through the minds of you young people.
All right, I'll do my best.
Don't we, Joe? Yeah, okay.
Well, you're also talking to a man with quite a few adult children and about six grandchildren, so I have some idea. I'm not totally in the dark.
All right. Yeah, well, okay, so let's get into our scripture that we're left. Do you remember what the title was?
Accurate Account of God, God's Divine Institutions of Marriage and Family.
And so far, we've been pretty accurate. Is there
scripture's been very accurate.
Right. Okay, so there's no more accurate source of information in existence, is there?
No.
Okay, who said that?
God.
Okay, well then.
The one who created the heavens and the earth and all things therein. And
how often does he get it right?
Always.
All right, so let's pick it up.
Whatever you think, you can create exactly how, when, where you want. That's called perfection, and perfection cannot be wrong.
All right. Let's pick it up in Matthew chapter 19 with verse 7. Read verses 7 through 9 and pause.
All right. They say unto him, these were the, why did Moses command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Jesus here, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery.
Okay, so today, do we have a real problem with divorce in America?
Yes, we have more divorces now than we have marriages.
And so things are not good in that state. Now, why would that be such a problem? Marriage and family were the very first divine institution God gave man, right?
Exactly. And it would be one wife, one husband, one union, two becoming one forever.
And so then would you
say death to us part?
Would you say it's pretty obvious then that those that are attacking the institution of marriage, either outwardly or esoterically, that they are the enemies of God?
Yes, they have to be.
Okay.
Or they're totally don't understand, don't believe, and just think God is a myth, a legend, and they just totally don't accept. But still, they're antichrist. So yes.
I think I mentioned last night that being in the prison ministry for these 50 years now, here, so many times I have seen that as soon as a man was sentenced to prison, and not just the men, the women too. The socialist workers would show up and start trying to get a divorce and start trying to convince them to get a divorce, go on welfare, get a divorce, get a divorce, get a divorce. And so, again, the state now has turned to be the enemy of God. But we...
Exactly, because the state also rewards the more children they have out of wedlock, the more help they get from the state, the more money, the more food aid, and basically it's a trap to keep them in control of the state, where the state is now the parent or the father in that sense, takes the place and becomes part of the family, actually the controlling head of the family, because the state controls the law, the finances, etc.
So then Hillary said it takes a village to raise a child. Was Hillary right?
Yeah, it takes the federal government, in her mind.
All right, let's jump here to Deuteronomy 24. Let's go to Deuteronomy 24 and read me verses 1 through 4.
When a man hath taken a wife and married her, it came to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her. Then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance.
All right, let's go back to verse 1. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found uncleanness. Now, there's a reason given here. He has found uncleanness in her. Now, that word actually, uncleanness, right there, is indecency. It's the same word that we use in the English, that he's found indecency in her. Now, that indecency can manifest itself in several ways. One of the ways is nudity, nakedness. If she has a tendency to, show a little bit too much of her cleavage or whatever, that is one. The other is language. If she talks like those women on The View, okay, that's uncleanness, okay? This is what the Bible refers to.
But she flirts a lot. Flirting would be the same, wouldn't it? Flirting.
Yeah. And so here... So you've got these things, uncleanness, and of course, obviously, fornication or infidelity would be another reason. But that word that we use there is the word for indecency. So that could cover a lot of area. Now, and when she is departed out of his house, she may go to be another man's wife. Now, if he gives her... Now, the Lord Jesus says in the beginning, right, that... Once if a man has died, as long as a man is alive and his wife leaves him, she cannot remarry as long as he's alive. But once he's dead, then she can remarry and vice versa. Now, here, if she's got a writing of divorcement, then she can go and live with another man and marry another man.
But the man would have to know she has a writ of divorcement. So, in a way, her problem was, it would have to be kind of known, wouldn't it?
Right. And so here, because, see, when the man would have to give her a writing of divorcement when he sends her out, she would have to take that and give it to the new guy, okay? Now, here, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after she has defiled, that she is defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause thy land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Now, how would that apply to what is happening today? Because there's something that is happening today in our society, which is called the trend. It's the trend. And how would that apply?
I'm not sure. I've heard of a few people getting remarried again after they've gone out in the world and tried other things and later on come back. But I don't know if that's what you're referring to.
Okay. Today, you know, I would imagine that maybe to some extent they've been around forever, but today you hear of these open marriages.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You've got things that you never heard of 10 years ago, you know, like cuckolding is another one, okay?
Yeah, but more often you hear about an open marriage.
Okay, so now what is happening, they decide, because there's a mindset that's being taught out there, and who is it that the devil always attacks when it comes to discernment?
The woman first.
Always, especially.
In general.
Right.
Women's now, weakness is discernment. Some men have the same problem, but by and large, it's the women who fail in discernment.
So let me ask you this. If you wanted advice on how to keep your marriage together, if you were a woman and you wanted advice, or even a man, either one, would you get advice from someone who's been married and divorced two or three times?
No. I would go find a couple that's been married since they were, you know, young and have been married all their life together. But just what you're saying, there's a story out. Mayo Clinic doctor charged with murdering his wife, who was poisoned after their open relationship failed. I saw the headline and thought, oh, you talked about that last night, these open marriages.
Over 90% of them.
Marriage and it didn't work, and they were talking divorce.
Yeah.
And,
over 90% of them, over 90% of them end in divorce. Now, what happens today so much is they'll do this, they'll end up, this open marriage, they'll end up getting a divorce, and then after they're divorced, after a period, the wife will come back to her husband. When she didn't find what she wanted out there, it didn't appear, she'll come back to her husband and convince him to let her move back in with him, okay, even though they're not married. But if they're living together, if she moves back in with him and they're sharing the bed, would that apply to this verse here? That if she comes back, he can't take her back because she's defiled?
Well, it would, but in a sense, if they're not married, they're both just living in sin, so it was kind of irrelevant because they didn't bother to even get married. So I don't think it would apply as much.
Well, it does. It would, because
everything they do is wrong anyway. What they've been doing is sin, 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 and one isn't any worse than the other, is it?
Well, it may be, because here it's referred to as an abomination, and the other places.
A marriage that's coming back after you've left the marriage and went out with another person, that's the whole idea of marriage, is two people together forever, right?
Right.
Not having relationships with others, but being totally committed to one another. But if you weren't committed in the first place, I don't know. It's confusing to me.
Well, see, the reason I'm telling you, I asked you that question about where would you get advice, is because it's become very common now in a workplace where these women that have been divorced several times that are living, you know, they belong to these clubs now. There's a lot. One of the trending things is they're joining these cheaters clubs, and they're calling them cheaters clubs, where the idea is that they're teaching these younger women that you can have it all today. You can have the security of a marriage. You can also have a career. You can have children and a variety of bed partners. This is what the insane teaching is being done.
Well, remember, we did a big story on that. The person that started that, what everybody thought was Helen Gurley Brown, wrote a book and started this whole feminist sexual revolution thing. But it turned out, the truth be known, it was her husband who came up with the idea, and her husband did most of the work on the book. It was his idea. Most of the input came from him. She put it together, and he let her take credit for writing the book and starting this revolution, because if she could have relations, so could he. And it turned out to be one of the biggest jokes around, because this whole feminist movement was started by a man.
Well, I watched a video that was made back in the 60s with David Rockefeller, and they were talking about how they were starting, these guys, these were men there, and they were going to start the feminist movement. They started NOW.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, men started that, and Helen Gurley Brown. I wish I could remember the name of the book, but it was that you can have marriage and sex, you can have it all. That was the subtext of her book, you can have it all.
Okay, so
which is a lie, you can never have it all.
I was listening, and it's an interesting thing too, because, you know, I have to do marriage counseling from time to time. Pastors have to do that, and it's an interesting thing because they have these how to restore your marriage guaranteed, 100% guaranteed. So I thought, I want to see what these guys have to say, right?
Oh, and, okay.
And it was an interesting thing because, you know, I expected to use biblical principles, and because reconciliation is what the Lord Jesus always, you know, what he really wants, what God wants is reconciliation.
Sure.
You
should have known better than to find.
Well, I wanted to see what they had to say. I wanted to say maybe these guys got something here that maybe I'll learn something. You know, these are so-called professional marriage counselors, and I was amazed that one of the ways that they talk about restoring the marriage is to not talking about your adultery. Just
act like it didn't happen, huh?
Yeah. Just don't mention it. Don't bring it up. Don't talk about it, the infidelity, and just go on like nothing happened.
That's like having an infection and a bad wound, and the wound will heal, but with that infection, everything starts to get worse. It starts to rot. Flesh starts to rot, and it, goes downhill. You can't leave an infection like that. You have to open it up, clean it out.
You got to cut it out.
The same thing
here
with emotional damage. It has to be opened up.
So we're living in a time, I mean, this is truly what the Bible says, the evil day or the time of sorrows. I mean, God is not the author, okay, of insanity, is he? Confusion. This is confusion. It's total confusion. Now,
also, in the scripture, it's like you've got brothers and sisters in Christ. You are able to go to them and talk to them and get help and tell them problems. That's why he puts them there, right?
Right.
I can't remember chapter and verse anymore, but I can remember quite clearly that that's what they're there for.
Now, one of the other things, the reasons you're having in this society. When was the last time you were on a large beach?
Last year.
Okay.
Went to Florida for a week.
What beach was that?
Panama City, somewhere down there. There's a state park beach.
Did you notice the swimwear that the women were wearing, especially the younger ones?
Yeah, they were small.
Okay, so in other words, literally they show their whole behind, don't they?
Yeah. It was interesting. Usually the older women would have a one piece, a little more modest, and the young ones would run around in next to nothing.
But that's changing now. The older ones are wearing that. I mean, the older ones are doing that now. So here there was a conversation with a couple of these men who were there, and their wives were almost naked. And they asked them, why do you, don't that bother you? And they said, yeah, it does. Then why do you allow her to wear that? I mean, everything was showing. And the response was that they all do it. They all do. I mean, so they're saying, well, if how can I make my wife not when the other husbands allow their wives to do it? And this is what the wives are telling their husbands, you know, the other husbands allow their wives virtually to go naked, okay? And one of them was the conversation that that the wife asked if her husband would bother if she went topless. She would like to go topless, okay? And that was one situation, but since he gave her permission to do that, then their 19-year-old daughter said, well, if it's good enough for mom, it's good enough for me. Now who has the responsibility there to say, hey, wait a minute, no, we don't do that in this house.
Should have stopped her way back in the beginning.
And so, yeah, he should have. And what happens, what have we seen since time began when men have listened to their wives instead of God?
Things tend to go astray.
So when Adam listened to Eve instead of God, worked out bad, didn't it?
Went downhill fast. But one thing, scripture, the younger women are to go to the older women to seek advice, and the older women are to help counsel them on different things like dress and behavior and how to act around your husband. That's very biblical, and that's the part when I could do the marriage counseling. People don't seem to want to hear.
Well, that's...
They don't seem to care what God has to say about marriage, and yet he's the one that created it. And I ask him, why would you not want to listen to the person that created you, your fiancé, and created the institution of marriage? Shouldn't he know more than Helen Gurley Brown or somebody else out there? And they don't know what to say.
Well, you know, you have a situation in like churches, like the church I pastor, that is the situation. The older women do talk, and they're godly women, and none of them would even, I can't imagine even wanting to do that, even if their husbands gave them permission. But I know in our case, and other UBF churches, unregistered Baptist churches, that is the situation where the women, a lot of them mostly wear dresses like they should, but they would never even think about going out to a beach and going naked that way like that they do today. Their husbands would never allow them to do that, okay, to do that. But that's the case, and that's amongst a very, very small minority of people today. Those out
well,
there, and
if you have the right wife, you never have to tell her she shouldn't do that.
Right.
My wife knew how she was supposed to act and behave. Her mother taught her well, and never had to say, I don't think you ought to wear that, or chose too much. Never had that problem.
Right. Well.
And I bet you didn't have to tell Ellen much.
No, I've been married to her 56 years, and No, I don't. I don't. I don't think she's ever dealt with Victoria's Secret or whatever. But hang tight. We'll be right back.
World War sees this opportunity to fulfill the long-held promise of a new world order, where brutality will go unrewarded.
Just in case you don't remember, let me jog your memory. In a church they called the Waco compound, back in April 93, 17 little children, all so helpless and so small, died a senseless death of gas and flames. How many names can you recall? 17 little children. Don't it make you wonder why? 17 little children. How could they deserve to die? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves if we become so blind. Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? How did you sleep last night, Bill Clinton? Tell me, did you feel their pain? As 17 little children cried out and perished in the flames, Attorney General Janet Reno, I accept your offer to resign. How can you stand for law and order now when you won't answer to your crimes? 17 little children, all so helpless and so small. 17 little children, how many names can you recall? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves if we become so blind. Will 17 little children finally open up your mind? I've heard it said the Branch Davidians only got what they deserved. Yet no one seems to know what laws were broken, what was in the warrant they never served. Yesterday I sold my TV set, stopped my subscription to the Times. To me it's plain to see the media was an accomplice to these crimes. 17 little children, don't it make you wonder why? 17 little children, how could they deserve to die? Maybe we should stop and ask ourselves, have we become so blind? Will 17 little children finally open up your
All right, we are back. I wanted to say this very quickly, that Silent Cry, the dark side of trafficking. And folks, the United States government under the Biden regime, under the Obama Biden, is the world's largest sex trafficking of children. The United States government is the world's largest sex trafficking of children. Right now, under the Obama Biden Communist Democratic Party. And here, we're going to be showing a film, folks, and all the evidence is there, all the proof is there, called The Silent Cry, The Darker Side of Trafficking. Lord's willing, this Sunday at 4 p.m. at Doers of the Word Church at 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio. That'll be at 4 p.m. this coming Sunday. It's part of a class that we have called The Bible and Current Events. And so, also we're having, I wanted to announce that this coming Friday, Tactical Civics will be having a meeting in the Geauga Lake County area. Tactical Civics will be having their meeting this on January the 12th at 7 p.m. at the Ransom Sage Farm. That's the Ransom Sage Farm at 505 Center Street, which I believe is around 6, yeah. 505 Center Street in Chardon. Okay, that's the Ransom Sage Farm, 505 Center Street in Chardon, 7 p.m. this coming Friday. So Tactical Civics is about taking our government back, according to the Constitution. Now, Joe, I don't know, do you remember Ted Gunderson?
Vaguely, yes.
Okay, Ted was the former chief of the Southwest United States. His area was New Mexico, California, Colorado, Texas, I believe Oregon, and Nevada, and Arizona. That, all of those were in his
big
area.
Territory.
He was, pardon?
It was a big territory.
Yeah. Well, I knew Ted very well, and in fact, he actually shared an office with J. Edgar Hoover for several years. Anyhow, I worked with him a lot. He actually came up here and stayed with us, and this guy was brilliant. He really was. But he told me that his biggest threat was not from the outside, but it was from rogue agents within the agency. Those were the people, in other words, agents that have gone bad, dirty cops. And he told me that that there would be some point they would try to kill him. When they ended up, they finally did kill him, okay? And now I said all that to say this, we still have this problem. And here the bombshell, 200 undercover FBI assets at Capitol. Now, we started to talk about this some yesterday. It's an article by Rob Bluey. Now, a member of Congress investigating the January 6, 2021 protest at the U.S. Capitol estimates the FBI had 200 undercover agents both outside and inside the building. Now, Joe, Congressman Clay Higgins, I heard him. He did an interview with Tucker Carlson, and he was saying not only that, but the FBI actually tricked a lot of your D.C. local cops, tricked them in to working, thinking they were actually doing, that did not understand that they were a part of this insurrection, that this was a cause, okay? And so you had some of the county, Columbus area, some of the D.C. cops, and over 200 rogue FBI agents there. Now, he was saying how they were set there. In fact, he was saying how that they use what they refer to them, these rogue agents, as human assets inside the Capitol to lure. They were dressed up as Trump supporters with the MAGA hats, but they were in there to lure supporters and patriots to be set up. And so here again, This is entrapment. What they did was totally illegal. It was entrapment. They became the enemies of the people. So let me ask you this, Joe. What does the Bible say? You got some of these prissy preachers out there that tell you, well, even though they're corrupt, the Bible says we still have to obey them and legitimize or give them legitimacy. What do you think?
Well, the Bible says we are to obey God rather than men, and the government is made up of men, not God. So to me, it's kind of clear.
Well, if you were to read Proverbs chapter 24, I think maybe we'll turn over there here for a minute. It goes a little clearer than that. And here, let me just jump over there and read this here. We said this, my son, verse 21, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. What do you think the change that he's referring to is? Those are giving to a change from what to what?
Changing from our constitutional republic to a socialist communist democracy.
Well, that's true, but he's actually referring from God's laws to man's.
Oh, to man's laws, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So, for the calamity shall rise suddenly.
The FBI and who, in the January 6th.
For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. Okay, so what is that he's referring to? It's not good to have respect of persons in judgment. It's to do what?
Those people in power.
Right. In other words,
deserve their respect that are ungodly.
To show any kind of partiality or to give them any kind of legitimization, is it?
Right.
Okay, so he that saith,
a crook is a crook. You don't give a crook legitimization, right?
He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, and nations shall abhor him. Okay? That's also referred to over in Isaiah 5:3, or 5:23, if I remember. So here he says, now listen, he that saith to the wicked, would you say that Merrick Garland and Chris Ray are wicked?
Yep.
Okay. So would you say... Okay, would you say that as Christians we have any obligation at all to legitimize those agencies as long as they are as corrupt as they are?
No, we are to call them, where the Bible said we are to reprove, and if that doesn't work, you use the word rebuke, which is far stronger.
Okay. But to them that rebuke them shall be, well, he goes this, he said that they to the wicked, the righteous shall, to him shall the people curse. In other words, the people shall curse those people that say unto the wicked, thou art righteous. And then it says, but to them that rebuke him, them that rebuke the wicked, shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss the lips that giveth the right answer. That giveth the right answer.
Answer. Well, that's what we're here for, to warn the people, and we send out a lot of rebuking around here.
If you go over to Proverbs 17 and verse 15, we read this. He that justifieth the wicked and he condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. So let me ask you this. When you justify the wicked, are you not at the same time condemning the just?
Yeah, you have to. You can't do one without doing the other.
Okay. Now, we've talked about this before, about a lot of money, a lot of big money changing hands. The left out there right now are in a panic mode. They are really in a panic mode. They're scared to death that Donald Trump should get elected. And the reason is they know people like Chris Ray, who has lied to Congress time and time again, Merrick Garland, who is the most corrupt attorney general in the history of this nation. They know that Donald Trump gets back in. See, right now, all of these things is happening, like right now you had Big Fannie Willis. What she did, she hired her lover, the one she's been shacking up with committing adultery with, who's a lawyer, is a crooked lawyer, is a partner. She hired him, paid him over $700,000, and she's been sleeping with him, and they've been taking cruises and things together to go after and build a false case against President Trump. Now, everything she did was a violation of the law. She should not only lose her license, she should face criminal charges, but she won't, because we don't have a Justice Department. We don't have a Justice Department. Now, the state of Georgia could, if there were, if they had some decent attorney general and people that were not involved in that, but I don't look for that to happen. Now, if President Trump gets back into office, he's going to clean house, and he's going to start there, that Justice Department. It'll be cleaned all the way down. One of the first things he will do is pardon all the January 6th patriots, and then those jails should start being filled with those people that put the patriots there to begin with. And so let's go back to this article here. Over 200 dirty cops, FBI, they call them FSETs. We believe that they're... Now, did you see by chance Congressman Clay Higgins when he had the hearings and he had Chris Wray before him?
Right. I heard a lot of Chris Wray not give non-answers, say, well, I can't comment on that. We call it obfuscation.
Right. And he has that little smirk.
He would not answer questions, in other words, the way they were presented.
He has that little smirk on him. Well, and the smirk says, look, you people in Congress, when government officials, when the intelligence agency go wrong, who's going to investigate them? Well, you can investigate us, but you have no arrest power, no power to arrest us. So, but this is why they're so afraid of Trump, because he gets back in, you know what he's... See, they can't stand someone they can't control, and he is totally... And this is why the extremely corrupt... I was watching CNN. You talk about corrupt. You know, it's just unbelievable. I don't think that there's any journalists left out there. All you have out there today is shock jocks in the media. And, you know, when it talked about going back to the definition of uncleanness, boy, would you find that in those so-called anchors at NBC and especially CNN. I mean, you talk about corruption, unbelievable corruption. And so he goes on to say...
a lot of lying, and again, the scripture said more lies are told by lies of omission. And that's one of the biggest things they do, admit stories, they just ignore stories, they ignore truth. And that's the greatest lie, when they don't tell something they know is out there.
Absolutely. In remarks about the January 6th anniversary, very, very corrupt, completely corrupt Attorney General Merrick Garland boasted Friday that more than 1,200 individuals have been charged for their involvement, in other words, for being Trump supporters, is what basically,
right.
They made that into a crime. And 890 convicted. Again, this is total corruption. Total corruption.
Well, and let me add to that. You remember we were talking about that guy, Ray Epps, that was out there telling people to go into the building, go on in, and he was seen on several videos.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, they've done something. They sentenced, or they gave him a trial.
Yeah.
And he's got a year of probation and has to pay $500 restitution and do a little community service. There was such a fuss made about how did he get away. He did things 10 times worse than a lot of the people they're putting in jail for years and years and years. And then they try and convince me that we didn't have these FBI stooges out there and be willing dupes helping them. Yeah, right.
Well, it's all coming out now, thanks to radio programs like this one, too. Now, what about that really cowardly, I mean, really cowardly, dirty bird, a dirty cop bird who shot and murdered, who murdered Ashley Babbitt?
Right.
He murdered that young woman.
She was not, you know, threatening him in any way. Police are told they can use deadly force only when their life is being threatened or somebody else's life is being threatened. And we saw the whole thing. There was no life being threatened there. They broke some windows and places, did things, but nobody was carrying knives or, you know, sticks, clubs, you know, guns, anything like that.
She had a uniformed police officer standing right next to her.
Next to her, right.
When that dirty bird.
They walked up around and got away from her, but they were still right there in the area.
When that dirty, corrupt cop murdered her, shot that helpless, unarmed woman.
What if he might have killed one of the other cops?
Well, they would have blamed it on Trump.
Oh, well, it's Trump's fault, yeah.
But the point, though, is that they rewarded him. They promoted him to keep his mouth shut.
Because sure, they had to, because he could otherwise would have been spending years in prison because he, you know, didn't follow the rules he was supposed to.
That's not what why they did it. They waited because he would, because he could out the person that gave him his orders to do.
Right, that's what I mean. If they didn't cover him, you know, he could have said things that they didn't want being said. So, of course, they had to reward him.
That's
what
normally
happens. Look what they're doing, too. Gateway Pundit. DOJ is going to target thousands who were at the Capitol but did not enter. So people occupying the area that they were not authorized to be present in the first place. And Matthew Graves, the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, had a press conference the other day on the anniversary of January 6th. Been 3 years since a violent mob, you know, attacked blah, blah, blah.
I watched that press conference, and that was the most corrupt press conference. Do you know what they did with it? They showed that, and they showed Ashley Babbitt. The way they made it appear is that she broke the glass with her hand. She was beating on the glass, and she was going to go through that glass and come after him. The reality were these other probably FBI dirty cops were there, broke the glass. Ashley was actually trying to get them to stop. But I watched that. Matthew Graves should be ashamed of himself. He really should be ashamed of himself for what he did. He got out there. He did what his owners told him to do. He lied through his teeth. He totally brought shame and dishonor.
We watched the January 6th tapes. There were the D.C. police, or at least people in the police uniforms, went. They took down the barricades. They moved them out of the way. They went and they opened the doors and they motioned the people to come in. Now they're trying to say, wait a minute, these people, we're going to arrest the people. We're just out there on the Capitol grounds because they were in a restricted area. Well, when the cops are taking down barriers, letting people in, that's not a restricted area. When the cops go, come on in, you can come on in. Remember, that was Joe Biden. He came up and said, it was on that day that we nearly lost America, lost it all. I mean, these people didn't have guns. They weren't trying to take over the military. They didn't want to take over the Treasury Department. They weren't trying to take over any part of the government. We saw them walking around, taking pictures, taking selfies, looking inside the Capitol. We saw all those films. And for the President of the United States to say something like, we nearly lost America on that day, lost it all. I mean, I've never heard more Bravo Sierra in my entire life, I don't think, other than that line.
I hear you. It's just unbelievable.
I hope people realize just how stupid that what he was saying. Now, this is the same president, if I can make a segue. You know, here Biden had his Secretary of Defense in surgery. and he didn't even know the man was not available for work. The Secretary of Defense had not even notified his assistant. He said he gave that person, I think it's a female, some authority to carry on the daily activities. He wouldn't be available. She didn't notify her assistant, the third in line, because this whole thing is involving the chain of command over the nuclear football. And we know, being ex-military, there's 15 minutes from the time a missile is launched or an aircraft, something that could be a hazard. If the missile looks like it's headed for a certain target, a decision has to be made whether it's going to be intercepted, fired upon. Some very heavy things happen. Well, the president didn't know that his Secretary of Defense wasn't available, and he didn't put any. He's supposed to write a letter, at least in the old days, back when, you know, presidents were real presidents. His people would have to write a letter saying, I am not going to be available, or if it was an emergency, somebody had to do it for them. They had to contact the chain of command, let everybody know so the chain of command could all step up, move up a step, be prepared. He didn't notify the third. The second command was on vacation somewhere, and the third in line there at the Secretary of Defense's office didn't know that anything was going on, wasn't even available, didn't know what was happening. And here we had, if anything major had happened, this nation would have been in chaos. We would not have been able to respond to a real significant national defense or national security problem. This would be almost...
Maybe you haven't noticed, Joe, but the nation is in chaos.
It is, but this is incompetence to the nth degree. And you hear what Biden wants to do? We're going to get a cabinet meeting together, and we're going to look at the protocol and procedures that should be in place. These should have been in place day one when he took over. These are the most important things. The transition team, I know the transition team would have told them about the national security program, the nuclear football. Here's all the rules, regulations. That would have all been set up before they ever took over their first day in office. So this is just the biggest breach of national security I can imagine. People can't imagine,
Joe,
how terrible this is, Pastor.
Joe,
I don't think there's any idea how horrible this mess was.
Joe, the enemy is in the White House. Do you have to understand? Joe Biden.
I don't think realize what the enemy in the White House just did. They laid our nation bare. They made us the most vulnerable that we've probably been in.
They did just exactly what their Chinese bosses and the other told them to do. And besides that, haven't you heard? Don't you go on the internet? Austin went to Ukraine and got shot up, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what they got
to say it, but he was in the, Walter Reed or Bethesda, I can't remember which.
Yeah.
He was,
here's the thing. What would he do? I mean, there's got to be one of his drag queens. We told you guys about what we see, that what's-his-name got out while he thought with the Gideon was good, Milley. But
he left. He saw the writing on the wall.
He saw the writing. He knows if Trump gets back in, he's going to be going for treason, too. But, you know, I think God is dealing with these people. We're coming up to a break. So when we come back from the break, we got a whole lot more to do. I mean, we got a lot of stuff to cover yet, right?
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple biggies I've got to tell you about.
Okay. Well, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.